Okay, I'll send it back. Everybody's here. Some of that bus takes 10 o'clock, so we're going to get started. A lot of us have got other things to do today. Clerk, would you call the roll?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Assembly Member Keough, District 1. Assembly Member Woods, District 2.
Present.
Assembly Member Arvin, District 3. Is expected telephonically.
Are you there yet, Assembly Member Arvin?
Assembly Member Culligan, District 4.
I'm here.
Assembly Member Salmon, District 5.
Present.
Assembly Member Culver, District 6. Is also expected. Assembly Member Halter, District 7. Mr. Mayor, we have a quorum.
Very good. We have the agenda. I'd like to suggest a possible point for an executive session if we want for personnel issues. Kind of stuff that shouldn't be in a public session.
I have a question to do that.
Okay. I would like to find out. That's one way to find out. I just talked to the manager. He said he would rather handle it in an executive session than in a one-on-one.
Before we do that, can we establish a time frame for the executive session?
Mr. Attorney?
Mr. Mayor, two issues pop up with an executive session. One is we didn't advertise for an executive session. Second is, if you're going to be talking about specific people, they have the right to individualize notice, and they have a right to ask that it be held in public if they so choose. Now, if you're just going to talk about generalized management to the manager, either alone or with the clerk and I, you know, that's a different story. But in it certainly can be advertised that way. It would be more of a performance review of the man, kind of another interim performance review of just how he's doing, what's going on, what are the issues with him, what do you have issues with him, what does he have issues with you. A generalized discussion like that on an interim performance review can be done without specific individualized notes, but it would need to be.
So you're suggesting that even on a generalized management level, without specific names, it should be advertised.
Yeah, one of the parts of the Open Meetings Act says that notice shall be given in consistent fashion for all meetings, and our courts have never answered what that means, because we are under a standing injunction from the court to follow the OMA. To my knowledge, we're the only municipality that ever got sued and lost couple of times for violating the OMA. We take a very conservative view of what the OMA requires, and we always specifically notice our executive sessions in line with that court ruling. Now, it is old, but it's held by the frontiersmen. They're the ones that hold the injunction against us, so they can seek to enforce it at any time. So my recommendation would be to specifically notice it for a date and a time. It's not that it couldn't have been added on the agenda, it's just
It's an afterthought, but in the global planning environment, I would think that would be a normal component. It just didn't make the agenda.
It would be a normal component to talk to the manager about it.
Mm-hmm.
To convene an executive session would be something that I would recommend you put on the agenda.
Okay, grab that idea.
I did want to. So I asked questions, and I differed on legal questions.
Going to the agenda.
Well, as far as executive session, I wanted to find out about contracts with the ferry and obligations to settle contracts, and I didn't know if that would happen in the public.
Right.
Court.
Well,
those were my issues. I wanted to bring
up next time. We definitely need to. And I guess the clerk's office can make note of the fact we should at least leave that slot open. But you're saying we should not have an executive session today.
Because it wasn't advertised.
Right. That's what we'll work with. Assembly Member Hall.
Can you put an executive session on the agenda every time? Legally?
Absolutely.
Sure.
We just haven't done that.
Correct.
It's an oversight.
It's actually on every agenda for the regular meetings.
It is.
There's actually not a spot that says executive session every single meeting. So if something else is already on the agenda for that meeting and you choose to go into executive session over it, I believe that legally you can.
Right.
Here we don't have, I mean, you put that item 8, 9, executive session regarding, you know, performance of management employees or something.
So where does the line, we amend the agenda beginning of every meeting about? How far can you go without advertising?
The Open Meetings Act requires that all topics to be addressed are advertised. Again, it requires consistent notice. And what you usually do when you amend the agenda is every now and then you'll add a mayoral proclamation or you'll add somebody came to speak and they're in the audience, I just want to add them. Those are more managerial or minor issues. If you notice when you have a topic on the agenda, you don't ever add an ordinance, you don't ever add a resolution, you don't ever add an IM or an AM at the floor. If you had something last minute like that, both the clerk and I would tell you, you know, put it on to the next meeting. Taking things off of the agenda is a different story. There are court rulings that say just because you've advertised something does not mean it's set in stone. You do have the power to take things off the agenda, and that's usually what we see. The other thing you've done in agenda setting is combine items. And, you know, you're accepting and appropriating 8 different ordinances, accepting and appropriating money from Homeland Security to the fire guys, right? Because there are all these different grants for different things. You know, combining those together, again, all of them are advertised, so you're not really doing anything that's not advertised. And admittedly, we do take a very, very, very conservative view on what you have to do to comply with the OMA, but I take that because we still have that potential.
We want to be conservative, by all means. Any other discussion on the agenda?
I would like to an extra 4 minutes for today, but the emergency services is just paid and more stuff. And I'd like to discuss that either for end or in conjunction with some of the additional items to accept the discussion of the
Okay, I'll put you in charge of not letting us forget. So, let's move to the pledge. Ma'am, would you lead us in the pledge, please?
To the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, Mr. Acting Deputy Mayor, would you make our motion, please?
I will, sir. I move to enter into the Committee of the Whole.
Is there objection? Hearing none, we're acting as Committee of the Whole, and I'm going to turn the meeting over to Ms. Kirk, who led us last year, if I remember right, and we'll note for the record that Assemblymember Culver is here now. So, Karen, go ahead. It's your day.
Thank you, sir. So, really quickly, and those of you that have been with me for a while, you can take a mental tune out since you've probably already heard this a number of times. My role, again, is just to establish a process and a framework to make sure that we move through your business for today in a fairly timely manner. When I say timely, that doesn't necessarily mean rushed. That means that we are focusing on the agenda items that you indicated that you want to take a look at. The ones that I was notified of, I've gone ahead and put up on the flip chart here. I was told that you wanted to take a look at an update with regards to the meeting agenda items that we looked at in June and also review the legislative priorities. we're going to readdress that momentarily after this quick overview. When I say timely, that also doesn't, it means we're trying to focus somewhere between in the weeds and the 1,000-foot view. That's our objective, somewhere in between there. That means that some of you that speak in a 1,000-foot view will be really frustrated by those people that speak in the weeds just because that's your way. Obviously, if you're more inclined to speak in the weeds, you're going to be frustrated by that big picture view. My job is just to make sure that we find a happy medium in between. If I refocus you or attempt to redirect you and you just haven't gotten to your point yet, my apologies, please let me know. That's I don't have a problem with that at all, although if we're all struggling to figure out what your point is, it's probably really helpful if you make that up front. That's why I put the speaking points and goal proposal submission out for you. I know it's if you're not familiar with it, it might be a little difficult to follow. It doesn't mean that you have to follow it to the T, but it just gives the rest of us, when we're listening to you, an idea of where it is that you're going. For example, if you are presenting something new, i.e., a proposal type of a submission, it's helpful if you're phrasing it as such, so we know that that's where you're going. In other words, I'm just asking you to submit your point right up front. So if you're submitting a new idea, let us know that. I'm submitting X because I'm because of something. You're either submitting to do something or you're submitting not to do something. The goal proposal submission is at the bottom. All I'm saying is if you're putting something that is new out there, be really specific. What's the end result that you want? Why are you presenting that? What are the payoffs? What's the impact? Why are you indicating that you think it should happen now? What are the resources that are available? Maintenance, sustainability, you don't have to address every single point. This doesn't look like a session that's going to be a piece that piece typically falls into play when we're presenting new goals and that type of planning, but every once in a while it comes up. It's a lot easier to listen to you if you're specific to those points, because then we can hear you and then move on to the next piece. I think under the speaking points 2 through 5, those are most obvious that we're going to be listening to today, and that just means that any time you're speaking, it should be really easy for the rest of us to determine. If you're doing number 2, which is informative, you're requesting a status update, that's definitely why we're here, requesting a report on something or explaining a process. You might be questioning something, you might be challenging someone, or you might be supportive. And it's all that again does is it helps us determine, are you just telling a story? Are you trying to sell us on a point? Why are you speaking? What's the point? That helps a lot. Obviously, your role in this process is to conduct ourselves in a manner so that we can get through the business in a timely way. Obviously, we're not just here to hear one person's point of view. We're trying to hear everyone's point of view. We'll do our best to adhere to a speaking order. Obviously, you're not going to talk over each other. Let me know. You know, you can do the little slight attendant finger with raise, whatever it is that works well for you. I'll keep a running order to make sure that you are attended to. And again, last of all, if I stop you or redirect you or ask you to get to the point and you feel that you already have, please let me know. That's not a problem, not an issue at all. Maybe I misheard you. Maybe my brain left me for a period of time. It's been known to happen, so that's not a problem. Breaks-wise, typically, I usually break about every hour and a half, and that seems to be challenging for some individuals. I like to roll right on through and get done. I know in the past we've broken every hour or so. It's your session. It's your meeting, so you let me know. How would you like to run breaks? Do you want to break every hour for about 5 or 8 minutes? Do you want to break, since we're starting a little bit late at 10 o'clock, and our lunch, I believe, is coming in at noon, and it's a working lunch? And that's up to you.
We try to make it happen that way.
Okay. Which means you probably break for about 20 minutes and then reading again. Okay. Anybody have any thoughts with regards to breaks and how you'd like to conduct them? Yes.
I have sometimes a fragile system. If I have to dismiss myself, excuse me, Martha.
Of course.
I try to hold.
Of course.
Sometimes it's been a rough.
No,
but
they're
tight in the chair.
Yeah. Not a problem.
Oh, so. I'm not using the
vote
yet.
A few minutes till we get the right vote.
So we'll take a look at flow rather than make hard breaks at every hour, just when it is when it's deemed necessary. I've received several different suggestions for when you'd like to close as a facilitator. I definitely need to know the max time that you'd want to close by, because I can't keep you into a time adherence if we don't have that time frame. I've heard anywhere from 2 o'clock to 5 o'clock. So I need submissions, and we're going to take majority rules. So when would you like to close?
Now, two.
Two.
I would like
what
to
else do you have?
Two.
Aim at two.
Far as I go.
1 p.m. would be better.
Yeah. Anybody else? We've had two.
No, that's fine as a goal, but I think one of the problems we need help with is our goals are too many. I think that's what our managers told us, is like, you know, this is just impossible with this small of an organization to achieve so much. And I think, you know, he could maybe speak of that to begin with, because he can give us a bird's eye view. It's like, we need to be more focused, more refined, and we had success in the governor's budget when we said three things. That's our game plan, we're sticking to it. And so we need some help there, thank you.
I want to, at 2 o'clock, sounds like a good goal to me, but I did want to have a discussion before we get started outside of these goals, and that is the role and responsibilities of the assembly people. If in the past, I think several assembly people, and I see that in the city that I live in, people reaching in and deciding it's their job to run the borough. I'll be clear that as an assembly person, that's not our job. Our job is to paint the yellow lines on the road, set the goals and directions, and the manager works for us. Whether he succeeds at those goals or fails at those goals, and the results of that is up to us as a body. But for us, there's a bunch of stuff on the table. I was impressed last summer when I attended the meeting and a consolidated list was achieved. And those are the measurements of the manager's success, and we should be supportive of that, and us not be in his office daily distracting from that unless they have to deal with those goals. And so as we move forward today, I think it's good to remind ourselves what our role is. And as Jim brought up, we were very successful as an example of the legislative foot. Not just ourselves, Palmer and Wasilla. We had some pretty succinct and achievable goals for the governor's budget, for our federal ask. By doing that collectively, we are in the best shape we have ever been in the governor's budget at this point. There's discussion that we didn't get all that we asked for. The session hasn't started yet. Having discussions about what projects are or aren't going to happen, pitting Palmer or whoever against each other. Our mission is to go get all of the funds requested. And at the end of the session, at the end of the day when those don't happen, then we have discussion. But to have a public discussion, our goal is to go achieve what we set out to do, and we're probably in the best shape we've ever been. So as we go through our objectives, and I have some, going to be looking for some updates from the manager as we talk about each one of these points, and then add some points that have to do with preparing, giving him a heads up for the budget so that staff has the opportunity to not only adding to the June meeting, but also looking at what we're going to need to know in pursuit of these goals as far as the budget talks and the like, so that he's not, there's plenty of him and staff have plenty of time to prepare. Thank you.
Anybody else like to add to that?
Yes, along that line, I'd like to remind the assembly members that we passed the directive to the borough administration. Assembly members and mayor seeking to direct the borough administration to prepare position papers, develop a significantly modified program of procedures, or allocate financial or personal resources must first have assembly approval. And I know this has been violated lately, and I bring it up so everybody is aware of what we signed into law when earlier we started the new member fund. So, thank you.
Okay, so to backtrack really quickly, anybody disagree with attempting to close at 2? That being our goal. And now I'll address that. Agenda items, I have these two, the update on the June meeting, and then reviewing the legislative processes. Anybody have any concerns about that? Yes?
I would think that we would want to build on what we did with the June meeting. Is that your intending going through there, is to add or subtract? At what point do we look forward? I'm assuming we're going to have a little more than just what came up in June?
Well, typically, if when the, since the June meeting was your planning for that particular year, this would be the halfway point to say, what have we done, where are we at, establishment. It typically isn't a point that you add new goals to that process, which was one of the challenges that I know that, that I had submitted for you from the 2006 goals for this particular group up until 2011. 2006, there were three goals. For that particular year in 2007, it doubled. In 2008, it almost tripled. In 2009, it just continued to grow exponentially, which is what you're definitely seeing the challenge of right now. So you definitely want to take a look at, if anything, minimizing and focusing, probably, at this particular point. Mr. Keogh.
Back to your original question. 2 o'clock is fine. I'm good till 3 o'clock.
Okay.
So one final bullet is at the end of the day, I think we're going to have some items we want to formalize if possible.
Okay. As long as that's within your piece, no problem. That's it.
As soon as we're going to do this, can I go to whoever? Put these items of business, one, two, priority one, two, three, and kind of check in where we're at on those?
I will, at that point, turn it over to your manager and let him address our June meeting priorities, which I believe you have titled Assembly 2011 and 2012 goals. If you'd like it. If you want to go ahead and take us down.
Oh, very good. Okay.
No problem.
Also, too, I tried to give some bullet points on this thing. Really, our first priorities were port expansion, rail extension, bridge, and then ordinance changes. And, going through this, we're working on those, but one thing that that would be helpful as we go through in the ad is just direction. We would like to see this accomplished by a certain target date. I mean, port expansion is, we've added Alaska Gas, Pac Arctic during this time. That's a very good start. We've negotiated. We have a contract review of MPI and Alutech. They had very cheap rates the first 5 years. This is year number six. And now they are required to pay 10% of the appraised value for a lease. And in one of the companies is pretty much balking at that. I think that's like a $250,000 annual cost to them. So as I go, and this is an agreement that we have, but like any good business, you want to make sure that your customers are happy, they feel like they're getting a fair deal. And so, in the future, I like to have some discussions on flexibility that I have to make sure. I mean, those are our first two businesses in there. We would like them to be there long term, be happy with that, because happy tenants, I believe, draws in more tenants, which in the long term makes us much more viable. As for the rail, that's nothing but smiles there with the governor's budget. We just are in the process of awarding the next segment. I am extremely pleased, and I know you are extremely pleased on the progress we've had on the rail. We'll keep pushing a little bit more funding for this legislative session. And then the bridge. Staff has been working very hard with the Kubota staff and working out the details where the road goes, where the facilities go. I think we have a very strong relationship as we work through that. And if that thing, I should say if, when that thing goes forward, it's really going to change the game for us and create quite a bit of work. And I think we're probably going to talk about some staffing changes and staffing increases to handle all the development. Right now, I think we're fine. As for the ordinance change, regulatory reform,
we are pretty much at the final stages of Chapter 43, and I think so. We were looking at that at the mid-July. I think we're probably within a month or two wrapping that up, wouldn't you say?
I would hope so. I think the next meeting will make substantive changes and get more technical companies to come
back. Fourth, development consultant hired under Ray.
Yes.
Who was that?
Alex Junior, the name of the group, is from Seattle, and
is it?
I don't remember. What's the name of that group? The company we hired from Seattle as a poor consultant. We're using them on an as needed basis, so they're not here just kind of spinning their wheels and chewing up that. What they're looking for right now is making sure that the gas line from Alaska Gas is in the right location down to the port. And so that's been very helpful. Makers.
Their mission is to do that?
Their mission is our consultant, when we have a business come in, to make sure that they're placed in the right location, we have the right safety, distance, that sort of thing. And so they're working right now with Alaska Gas, the company we have in there, in the port, in the design of that.
And our cost?
We have a maximum cost of $100,000, but we do it on an as-needed basis. And I think it's not even going to be a quarter of that $100,000 yet for this first project.
Thank you.
Yeah, two questions. That was one of them. Thank you. John, the other question is, you mentioned the two leaseholders whose leases are Aleutic and MPI. Which one is resistant?
I know. I just I don't want to hurt our negotiation since this is public. So, I mean, I think we're going to, what we'll do is when we come to get too close to an agreement, I'm going to come back just with you and inform you. But essentially, they looked at going from, I think, $10,000 a year to $250,000 a year, and business is not happening for them the last couple of years. It's, what are you doing to us? So we'll be discussing. We had what we have to do with our agreements is we have to get an appraisal of the value of the property. And so we turn that over, and then they can get a second appraisal, but I think we're pretty much in the ballpark where we are. It might change a little bit, but and so they automatically are supposed to go to this 10% here. And so immediately I called them and I saw the amount of appraisal and what their annual payment, and said, I would like to have a meeting with you, kind of go through these details. And so they're going to talk with their investors, and they said they'd get back to me first part of next year. And we'll go through. So I'm assuming both of them are going to have concerns going from 10%, almost having the rates increased by 1,000%. But that was kind of what attracted them is get you in at a very low rate. You can make the investment in the property, and then when you're up and going and making money, then you can support the higher value of the lease. For the one business, they're not that active out there before. And they have made significant financial investment out there before as well at this point.
Idea that was on the same subject. When and how did you want to solicit our direction on this? It's kind of a policy call.
It's essentially, I want to come back with a plan, a black and white plan, so this is why things went to work, and have you kind of weigh in on that.
But we're not going to solve it today, though.
Other than saying, I mean, you can certainly say, no, John, you know, we had a deal with those folks, hold them to the deal. We're not reneging on it at all. But it's a balance between, it's just business balance. If you have a tenant who is not making money, and do we want to keep them there, or do we want to boot them out?
And I think this is a tenant we want to keep, especially with that. And they're not going to be able, I think, to, at least right now, under the work that they have coming, it's not going to make financial sense for them to stay, but I think they'd like it to stay.
I can tell you from, you know, being on the ground floor, the intent of setting that up was that they're putting a lot at risk to go out there before there's any infrastructure or support. And I think our tax level should be proportionate to our infrastructure and to some degree to their, you know, their ability to provide or to make profit.
And also, too, when the lease was signed, when the investment was made, the environment was a whole lot different, and work was going to see the flow. And that's just, I mean, the fact that kind of got turned off on that organization.
I just wanted to revisit this up on the rail and have this discussion with everybody. We are very pleased that when it comes to rail and the governor's budget that there's money in the bond proposition. The reality as we go through the legislative session is, from a business perspective of the borough, cash flow is king. And it's nice to have the promise of a bond that may get passed, et cetera. But as a energy, our mission is to make sure that we have funding on hand to continue these phases to keep this thing moving. The bonds may take a while to issue and pass and the like, so it's not out of the question that we may, through legislative process, be looking at an interim, another direct appropriation to continue our cash flow to make sure that we are moving forward in addition to the bond request. So I think we just all need to understand that, we're all on board. Our mission is solid funding, and our mission is, to the manager, is to ensure that we have the cash flow to continue these phases on a determined schedule. And those bonds may or may not happen on a timely fashion. They may have all sorts of legislative theater over the session, but our mission of that is, should be clear, has to do with cash flow to implement the next phases of that, and whatever is the best solution that we're working together to make that happen. I know that discussion is out there. It is a concern, and we'll get together.
Dealing with COVID, it's good in theory, under the premise that you're going to make more money later. Maybe the people that got us in the past in the first perspective, that's the last COVID equity loans. First 5 years, we had one rate of the month that was paid off. We saw how that worked out too. But the best interest of everybody, including the people in Singapore, is to look at the same thing.
Follow up on Steve's comment about the legislative ask. Now, what I've been hearing around the building is that, you know, we have all these people working on the rail, and it's mainly a public relations effort. And they're like, and what I've heard is, well, we need to have a $70 million capital request this session, and so I hope we talk about that today, what the amount, the policy says, how much we should be asking for. My concern is that if we ask too much for that, that pushes out some of our other cash projects, and so we need to direct, today we need to set a policy on what that amount would be. If we're having the bond ask request, the GO bond ask, and then also a capital budget ask. Is it 30? Is it 70? What is it? We must give the manager some direction on that. The other thing on the rail, what folks have been following this stuff real carefully, saying that we need a little more oversight on the money. Right now we just write a check, give it to the railroad. And these bids are coming in much lower, so than the engineer's estimate. So we probably could squeeze a few more dollars out of this project if we had pretty tight borough oversight. Somebody down there in project management at the railroad that worked for us is looking over every invoice and bill and, you know, managing the project, or at least have people on the ground. And so to me that makes sense. It seems like we're at arm's length there. We fund it, and then we're, you know, then we have the promotion efforts for the funding, but then we just write the check, and I think we need a little more, you know, active involvement, or the borough needs to somebody look out after the first and the product.
Mr. Hawkins?
Yeah, and on that rail, we need to have, not what's done, but future, the railway right-of-way and the reservation of borough rights to future use.
Yeah.
Whether or not we need to budget money to get outside assistance on that, or go in house, so we need to get that straightened up. Boy, that's a big one.
And before I turn it back to you, Mr. Manager, do we have Mr. Arvin telephonically?
Does somebody remember Arvin? Are you online? I don't hear him.
I'll keep checking back for him.
Could I bring up one other issue related to the port? Just so I've been getting a lot of pressure to bring a resolution forward on gas at the port, and I am working on something to bring forward, because industrial priced gas is key to a whole lot that could happen out there. But, you know, it's not on this list. But it's something that could be part of the picture before.
Manager, would you like to continue after Mr. Keogh?
Well, maybe just a follow-up on the mayor's comment there. But I had intended at one time to bring a resolution forward supporting the massive standalone pipeline. In other words, it does anticipate it. It caused me to wait on that. So is that, can you say, what are you thinking about as far as the resolution supporting gas?
I'm not going to bring something forward that just singularly supports that. I want something that's a little more tied to economics and the big picture. But, you know, when it gets to the table, anything could happen.
If I could reiterate what I heard about the rail, is really two things, and if you could kind of weigh in, if this should be part of our work, number one, developing more management oversight on the funds given to the railroad, and then the second one is the right-of-way issue. Is there, we ask Karen if there's consensus that these are two other items we want to add to this is what we need to accomplish in this area of rail.
Go ahead.
The third item, is if you could define cash flow over the next 12 months, if you need to work in terms of your process and so on. What cash would be the continued phase while you need to put the bond proposition for the different side?
Okay.
Short term and long term.
So those pieces you want to, is there any disagreement with that, with adding that to the focus for the rail? Okay.
Very good. Very good. On the bridge issue, is there anything that you need us to do other than working hand in hand with the staff at Kubota to make sure that when this thing gets funded, it's funded in it's built in a well thought out and planned manner? Is there anything additional to that?
The borough's concerns is what, you know, they've got a finite strip of property they're building with him, and then what happens on each end of it. And on our side, where is the money going to come from to improve the roads and all of this stuff? Which roads? and so that we come out ahead.
Mr. Alter, if you would get hold of Kubota, they have the on disk the $45 million environmental impact statement. It shows the routes, the chosen route. So it comes up the back and the 6 mile to the back side of the prison will be built where the bridge itself.
Mm-hmm.
So where the funds come from for that will be part and parcel of whoever gets the proposal to build. It will be a design build, and it will come eventually into Point Mac Road in some version. But an impact statement had 8 different choices, and one was a no build. And so we have the record of decision. We have the impact statement. It is complete, and they're ready to break ground as soon as the request for proposal comes through. I would recommend, though, that we do, minor as it may be, learn how to spell Kubota.
That's not wrong.
It stands for the Kinnickarn Bridge and Toll Authority. Kubota, B-A-T-A.
Yeah.
Mr. Colley.
Mr. Alter and the manager. So, in additional items to be discussed today, I know I want to talk about traffic surface planning in general. And I believe Russell and others are looking to budget money in their process this year to get some joint transportation planning. It will discuss later, but the reality is the DOT is planning for moving traffic from point A to point B. As a borough and as a city, we need to discuss a transportation infrastructure that allows people to get to homes, enhance the business opportunities, and move traffic around the borough, within the borough, not just from the borough to Anchorage, and wipe out the business infrastructure and other stuff. I'd like to discuss that later, but I have a bunch of good plans for that, where they can move traffic to the front.
Mr. Mayor.
And following up on that, the possibly linked to the political success of that bridge is our study and the transportation corridor north from the end of the bridge project. I think it's going to be vulnerable to criticism as it stands today, because we, until that study's done, we don't know where it's going. we don't know where we're going after we get to the end of the project, which is just a little beyond Point Mac Road. I think there's pretty good consensus we're not going down Point Mac Road indefinitely.
Manager.
Okay, in working off what Karen provided, I guess I threw in streamlined, reorganized borough contracting as a priority. Maybe I just kind of sensed that from you. But we had a meeting on December 12th, and then we have a second work session on January 12th. Does the Assembly think that direction going to be given on January 12th is going to really satisfy your concerns and needs if we accomplish it?
Go ahead.
Well, there's something Ron Arwin and I have kind of been focusing in, as you see, this awarding contract. You know, there's just a bit of a disconnect, and I realize John just is new to the organization, but we really need reform. Let me give you an example. We put $250,000 in the budget because we wanted to, I think it was $350,000, we wanted to develop some alternative access points to the Hatch-Pass management area for motorized use. New parking lot, new way to go, the existing lots are full, head them up where it's motorized where people can go have fun. Well, you know, so we had James King on board, and, you know, I was pestering him where we had on that, and, you know, he was here, and then he left. And so then I'm, you know how it is. If it's a project that you're familiar with, you better track it around here if you want some down. So then we have former director Ron Swanson under contract to help deal with a lot of the Hatcher Pass development issues that are already happening. And the manager and the foresight said, well, let's get Ron on that project because I don't have enough staff to deal with this stuff right now. So that was initiated. Ron presented the manager proposal October, I think. Well, you know, so it's like I've been talking with Ron about the other project, the road that's out to bid right now to get up to the south side area. Where anyway, he's like, well, I don't have, how's it going on the snow machine thing? Oh, we don't have my contract yet. So basically, we've got to reform how many signatures it takes to do it. I mean, this is probably under $50,000. It takes numerous signatures. You've got to go across different people's desks, and things just don't happen quick enough here. And so I think we need some, you know, under a certain amount, one signature or two signatures or what have you. But the controls, I believe, must be excessive because we can't kick something out the door quick enough. You know, we've been able to do that with permitting because it's been highlighted and there's private sector interest on it. But so that's one of the components of this contracting reform. We've got to really have some analytical analysis of how we are procuring here for the department, or how much oversight, what's the norm. You know, that might take a professional that's in private sector and also works in government and knows what the norms are to be able to advise you on reforming that system, because I don't see any point for us to throw more money in the capital budget until we get a handle on how it's being spent, because every year we're rolling over many millions of dollars in projects that haven't been worked on. So that's one component. So there's a long way to go, and Noel will tell you that he's frustrated with some of our contracting, and I think we all are in different fashions. So I think we need to rewrite the code in a number of instances. I think we need to address the internal workings of how our oversight and procurement and how it happens.
Mr. Wood.
I answered the manager's question this January 12th to be the end. I can't imagine, other than having a proposal forward that we could work on a way to continue to work on the problem. More than just contract, bookkeeping, we look at the budget, and that's going to be coming up starting. We've got to get that done. And
Mr. Colligan?
I just want to draw attention to the very last page, the screen grab from the last off-site meeting, meeting. Of course, it sits down with streamlined reorganization of government, and underneath that, borough contracting. Ending that as a member of the public, my thought of what I've heard was streamlined reorganization of government, the management review and the like, and contracting is part of that, but I think the desire was looking at management's overall needs in some areas, the overstaffed and other understaffed, and implementing a matrix for people and powers, great things. Kind of to detox, you said somebody, I'm not curious where we're at, and I want to make sure we address the overall goal. Right now, we've got snow on the ground, and certain issues at the moment, the reality of the organization, we need to look at management. So I'm curious, where are we at in the overall view of the management?
We have not brought in or even had a proposal for a management consultant at this point in time. In my attempt with this from discussion is really we have a, um, a, we, what we call high performance organization that was done. So we have been doing quite a bit of work on that through that, but we've not done anything of having brought somebody in from the outside, and I'm hearing that right now as a need. The second thing is it's been a challenge for me, and also too, I think, you know, I'm the cause of this. There's a lack of department heads this last few months. I'm working on that situation, but I need some management bodies in here, so I'm just not running here and there, and I can kind of focus more on the overall leadership activities as opposed to the day-to-day things. But I have spots where I don't have people I can put in charge and confidence in those areas that aren't department heads on a day-to-day operations. A lot of these things I really hoping I won't have to worry about in the future, but I have to worry about now.
My comment to that is to make sure that the goal, you know, make pressure like you state, the goal of that objective is to have a plan and time frame going. That's a very large hairball, and we would like to help you reach in and pull out and prioritize those elements based on goals or a time frame or a description of work that needs to happen over 2 years or whatever it is. It's something that we have metrics of performance on so that we know what the priorities are. Contracting is obviously the meeting for overall management and leadership. All of us is not how it's looking for some kind of a timeline as far as all of those things that we prioritize. If you look at that through the budget process, if it's either outside consulting or whatever it's really going to take, you have that goal rather than your money that you need.
Mr. Colburn and Mr.
Hodges? Yeah, I would like to see us as a short-term goal is just streamlining the borough contract. I mean, I think we have some long-term goals that are going to take longer, but a short-term goal is before the bids are let for the road maintenance contract that we get a really solid performance standard and how many contracts based on your performance. In my opinion, we need some kind of a report card, and that reflects on if you get contract extensions, because typically these are one-year contracts with up to two additional renewal years. It shouldn't be subjective on some. It should just be if you perform, you can get a renewal. If you don't, you won't. If you can't perform in the areas you have now, well, you know, you're not going to be able to go out and roll bids for every contract in the borough. There's got to be some measurable standards set in by ordinance, because right now, you know, there's a purchasing code which we've went through. We know it's like Swiss cheese. They can do pretty much whatever they want, and then it's up to the specific contractual language, and then it's how it's enforced. So not to get totally into the weeds on this issue, and I think everyone here has had their share of it, and we'll have plenty of ideas, but we need to set a goal that we can, before those contract proposals are ready to go out the door, because they're a June 30 renewal fiscal year, we need to back up and then make sure that our work is done to give direction on what we'd like to see in those contracts and performance standards, basically, so that our taxpayers are satisfied that they're getting their money for it.
Well, I agree with all of that. I guess on the procurement, I think we should definitely go forward with that. I've always wondered about where we're at on computerized payment and billing. I think this is my third time I've done this. It doesn't seem like we get anywhere with that. So I'd like to have that added in there someplace where we should get more modern and quicker.
It is at the end of the session, the definition.
Then there, I think it should get moved up a little bit. We need to get modern, I think. And then, speaking of your goals on personnel, so you've got community development director, assistant borough manager, economic development director. Who else is absent?
Planning director.
So you got four.
Massage therapist. Psychoanalyst.
So we're
fantastic.
So we've got four big ones plus these other really well.
Well, you know,
what's the goal? What's the goal?
And, well, community development director, and then we have an operations person that's been vacant that needs to be replaced underneath community development director. So,
big one.
Well, and we're just we're replacing the animal control director, our animal care director, and that will happen in January. Yes. Yes, we do. We have an agreement, and hopefully he'll stay more than 8 months. We're hoping for 9 this time. We hope this person stays, and that's kind of our challenge. But anyways, right now, we've closed on applications for community development director and economic development director. We hope to have those positions hired by the end of January.
Will we see any of these bodies ourselves before you hire them?
That wasn't my plan. What's the standard?
I don't know.
That's your job.
I don't know.
That's what I thought. Believe me, I understand that.
I don't know what the plan is, so don't get me wrong.
Okay. I understand that. I'm holding off on planning director. We have Eileen Probasco, who is kind of the intern, but we've had, I think, 6 planning directors in the last 10 years. That seems to be a lightning rod operation. And I want to kind of know where the assembly wants to go with that, but I really want to provide some security and some standard operation in that. And I don't know what that is yet. I don't want to keep that cycle going. The next person, the planning director, I want them to say, you know what, we can host somebody and they can be here, you know, and have a career here, as opposed to, you know, a 1-year stint or 1.5-year stint.
Assistant borough manager, is that going to come from within the organization or outside?
Right now, I'm talking with a gentleman and doing background on him, but I would like to bring in an interim for about a 6-month period, somebody familiar for operations in the area. And then at that time, I spend 4 or 5 months making that decision on what the assistant borough manager, who that was going to be. I want to make sure, you know, I didn't want 3/4 of my department heads to be new immediately. I'm kind of concerned because I think, I think I'm a pretty good manager, but what I don't have is the history and the understanding and the environment. And I'm very concerned about bringing too many people in who don't know the history and the environment and the people that they're dealing with. So that takes some time. So I want to kind of do it in a cautious manner. But we need to move pretty quickly. And I have, you know, I've trying to be taking care of some of these things, so I've not run to do these replacements.
A year from now, all those positions would be filled.
Yes, and I'm hoping you're saying, John, what do we need you for? Because things are running so smooth.
Let me make a quick administrative note before we get to Mr. Culver's question.
I'm good. I'll pass it ahead.
You pass?
I mean, I think.
Okay.
Does the manager understand going around here?
Probably.
Where we're at.
Something that Mr. Culver said earlier, that on that snow machine trailer parking lot, $350,000 was budgeted.
Right.
I would like Mr. Moosey to get with the city of Houston because they've identified a huge area. You know, if your snow machines are trying to go from the east to the west. We're all going to Baldy. You hear that?
Yeah.
City of Houston has a huge place. It used to be an old kind of a dump and a firing range that they would like to develop into a parking lot, and then people could go with snow machines. And you need a big one, you know, for trucks and trailers.
Yeah.
They could go from west to east in that same spot.
Yeah, the more access points, the better.
And I don't know all these consultants and stuff, but I know the layout of those trails. That would be a good project to get with the city of Houston to see if we work out that who owns the land they donated or work. I know it's work. And
okay, so before we turn it back to you, I just want to make a short little note. I continue to appreciate those of you that do not use this as a forum for extensive presentation on your pet priorities. Understanding. I get it. I love that. Understanding that making a point, getting on it, getting off of it, asking your question, because again, this is a planning update. It is not new planning. It is not adding to the process. We're here basically just to hear where we are with these pieces. And if you want to cut something, great. Adding something, probably not a good time to do that, especially looking at the expensive level of where they're already at and watching our manager deflate into his chair. So I'll turn it back to you with your continued update. Also, okay. Looking at it, it's 11. Just letting you know we're on just the top of page 2 with our updates. We probably want to move that along. And I do want to check in to see if we have Mr. Arvin.
Member Arvin?
Will you get a light?
We'll get a beep.
We'll get a beep.
Yeah.
We'll get a beep. Fabulous. Okay.
Well, at least that is a gold standard of our goals and priorities that we have, and we've gotten through that. The next, emergency services, and this is just a list of what has occurred the last year, year and a half. And it wasn't discussed because emergency services was just noted. Also, please note that we added 6 staff members through the budget process in EMS, which has helped. But there has been some discussion on consolidated dispatch. I think that might be a separate goal, but that's something that probably should be on your radar screen. That, like we just kind of talked about, reorganizing borough government, that's a good opportunity if we can get together to have quite a bit of cost savings and kind of be able to afford some of this newer technology as well at the same time.
So the bulleted items under emergency services are tasks that are completed, are there goals from the director? What are
these? These are tasks that are completed through the director. I'll be honest with you, I don't really have to worry much at all about emergency services and the operations. That Dennis is one department head, in my opinion, does a fabulous job and allows me to sleep in this area.
I would, I personally am opposed to separating out the discussion of consolidated dispatch. It needs to be part of emergency services goals. It is a huge liability for the borough, for the city of Wasilla, for the city of Palmer, Houston, and the troopers. And just about half of this list has to do with dispatch. Our Palmer Dispatch Center is a band-aided Rube Goldberg interface to the public. It is being barely held together, in my opinion. It has been upgraded in competition with the city of Wasilla over the years. And I think it's to the point that all systems are needing a level of maintenance, and they all need to be brought into the room together to enter into the discussion of consolidated dispatch before we spend several millions of dollars apiece and have several half-assed, to be polite, dispatch centers rather than one decent regional center working together. There's no reason that just because there's a police department in Palmer and in Wasilla, and the troopers contract out to Wasilla, a Palmer contract out to the borough, but the borough does not need to be in charge. And there are also opportunities with emergency services at the state level at Alcantara. There's plenty of opportunities. That discussion needs to start happening soon. It will take several years, but I am going to be opposed during the budget process to any more distribution of money to dispatch centers that could be spent on consolidation. Be very clear about that up front. Be very actively educating the other assembly people, members, of what our goals should be. And I appreciate everybody's hard work, but half the items on this list have to do with the borough doing its own thing in dispatch when we need to look at a consolidated view and an outside consultant outside the borough to figure out how to work together in that regard. City of Wasilla has a $4 or $5 million grant they've been sitting on, haven't spent for several years, to do with data technology that could probably be more appropriate for a wide, for instance. We're buying more console stations to place at Wasilla so they can talk to each other when the reality is they should be in one facility. We need to upgrade all of our IT at the Palmer facility. We need a somebody to prioritize that and figure out how to move forward before we spend more money this budget year and next budget year.
Mr. Keel.
Jim, last year in the budget cycle, we did approve six of the investigation for paramedics. Are all those positions filled? I don't know.
You know, I know we're in the process. I don't believe we have filled them all yet. I will get back to you on an answer with that. I know we were close. I know they're going through interviews. They're doing it differently than I would do it, but that's okay. They're interviewing a ton of people and for those positions. So that's why I don't think they're completely filled yet. They have quite a few interviews, quite a few people involved in that. Just a question, because there's always, from my understanding, what's great about Alaska is there's always small projects that can be funded through legislature. Mr. Culligan, would this be something that the outside consultant to get this started? Would that be, you know, something that we could have somebody sponsor and get some funding for that? Because I think if it comes to the borough and Palmer and Wasilla, we need the entire consultant, you know, give us each $100,000 or whatever. You know, they're going to balk at that right at the beginning. They're saying, well, we'd like to do it. Sorry, we just don't have the funds. It will never get off the ground.
So being sensitive to the city's budget, I think Palmer is in more dire straits as far as revenue and the like and economic impact amongst the police. Wasilla is in pretty good shape and would like to participate in the transportation planning. Houston and the troopers may be the same. And this is something that I would like to have discussed, and it may be an add-on that we look for from state match or federal delegation. To start with, we need an agreement, not at the director's level. We need an agreement at your level, at the mayor of Wasilla, the mayor of Palmer, the mayor of Houston, and the state troopers, that we are interested in heading down this road together. That we would like to renew our commitment towards consolidated dispatch, and we should also have a joint task to pay for consultants this year to take outside expertise. We're not the first and we're not the last state to do this. Comments in us from the state of Washington are the biggest mistake they ever made, was consolidated by county, instead of consolidated by region. And so to answer your question short, I think it is something for legislative ask, but I think the short-term thing is it's for you to have a discussion with all those leaders, not at the director's level, not in the weeds, but just conceptually that we are all dedicated to making this happen and working with Anchorage as a backup, working with the state emergency services and Homeland Security to see if there's opportunities there. We want to have to help that informal agreement, which I think they've all signed in the past, to review that. And then there is definitely opportunities for stuff that's not in the budget. We need to address it during the budget process. And the letters are coming. And there already is a letter out.
For tomorrow.
Yeah, just to get back to you, Steve, on that idea, it sounds good in theory. Are you getting any resistance from Palmer or Wasilla or anyone across the border? Are they pretty much collectively in line with your thinking?
Historically, I think they've once signed an agreement to move forward, but when you get down to final details, there's always some gnashing and like, and Wasilla has been blessed over the years with grant funding they've applied for and mm-hmm. received. One grant that they've applied for and received that they haven't can't spend yet, even though it's been almost 5 years. And my discussion with all of the above are that they're all very interested, and timing is good because they're all approaching new upgrades. And they're bringing new upgrades, as well as the state looking to build out a Cantra emergency location where the Guard Bureau and other feds already have fiber and other things going into that facility, which gives other opportunities.
Mr. Mayor.
You know, this will be on the next joint mayor's meeting. I'll see to it. It's something that hasn't come up yet that needs to.
Just to follow up, Steve, just to be clear, what you're saying, that the city of Palmer, the city of Wasilla, our emergency services department, and the state are, there's a senses that there needs to be a consolidated dispatch?
There have been discussions, and there was a signed document, I'm aware of, 4 or 5 years ago. But there's always been, it's a very complicated issue, and I don't want to spend,
right.
We're kind of getting down the road here, but just in general, it is a very complex issue. A, from staffing, A, from unions into different organizations. We have the city of Wasilla that contracts out all the dispatch for the state troopers. We have the Metro Burla provides services that contracts out to Palmer. So we're already contracting out, and like that there has been some elbowing and shoving in the past with the agreements, A, who's in control. And like the reality is, from a professional perspective, is it's a task of call taking and asset allocation that is a liability, no matter how you look at it, right? And it has nothing to do with the professional delivery of services. It actually takes money away from the actual feet on the ground, no matter how you look at it.
So just one follow-up comment. I think some of that elbowing you referred to, and I'm not an expert on the issue, but the elbows were pretty sharp and failing pretty hardly, and there was some significant political tussle going on in the past. But that said, as somebody who spent a lot of his life in public safety, I mean, if there's a way to come to some kind of a consolidated dispatch where everybody, where it works for everyone, that would be the way to go.
Yeah, so at the end of the day, our mission is to have a dispatch center, professionally trained staff, the infrastructure that's solid, has the backup and all the technology we needed, and then we use that to improve our services in the street. And you're absolutely right. There's been tons of sharp elbows. But the reality is the technology has run past them, and it's time that we have that discussion that we may need to deal with our delegation to dangle the carrot out in front of them because some of that has to do with money, some of that has to do with control, but we can solve the money problem.
Next item is major land sale. I had assignment, the last two bullet points you see there on the list, provide a list of current property leases and potential properties for sale and cost to do so. That was assigned to Mr. King, and he was going to have that for me January 2nd, but that's been kind of on hold. We have reanalyzed and repriced two downtown Palmer properties for sale, but that did a lot of good because we're still holding on to them at less value. So we'll continue to try to do those. A lot of this is going to be, it'll be healed by hiring a community development director. But one focus that I want to do is we have major land sales, and then we also have resource development. I want to kind of gear that toward more economics and see if we can use that for leverage. And what I think I need from Assembly, if not heard, and I know this is something Mr. Arvin is very, very interested in, is can you describe to me what type of land sales you want to see? What do you want to see the end result being? Is there an area to say, John, focus here. This is where we think, from our knowledge, you get the biggest bang for buck. This is what we want to see the end result to be. That would be very helpful to me as I direct the new person, whoever he or she may be.
Well, I don't know the entire asset base of lands we have, but just in discussion with folks that do know what we have left is we have a lot of good recreational lake property, but you have to get some kind of access and or do some amount of development to get some access. And we probably could use some of our provisions that we are working on in the subdivision rewrite could be a recreational. There's a huge demand. Folks who want to have a snow machine like in the Trapper Creek, Petersville area. Very popular cabin area. So if we could identify borough-owned lands, in my opinion, you know, lake, front, whatnot, we'll have to put some money up front into preparing for development. But we can approach it two different ways. We can sell a block of land with requirements that, you know, they develop some access in here and then it provides other access to other borough lands, or we can put the money up front, put the infrastructure in, and then sell the properties. But there's, I think there's quite a bit of land that if we just looked at it, the easy stuff's gone. So that's kind of what I would head. I would look at also the commercial tourism potential along the Parks Highway. So I think there's some value there, and I would probably, if it was my land base and I owned and I was king and I had millions of acres, I would be leasing the high value property that's critically located where large businesses like Princess or the Hall in America or those firms would, or their ancillary rafting companies would want to locate and create an income stream rather than just a fee simple sale, but attractive terms to get them in there, kind of like we've done at the port, is one approach.
Other assembly members' input?
Well, I'm the one that wrote that one on the board, and what I had in mind was a large as potential illustrative of what might happen was the large chunk of land up on Oil Well Road that was supposed to get the timber taken off first and then be developed into multiple use, including agriculture and residential. Another potential that I think it, with the way things are developing is even more viable is the Fish Creek area. Only thing between us and it is about 5 miles and a bridge across from Oak Sioux, but you know, that could fit into our transportation corridor up north from the bridge. But I don't see anything just being an agricultural project anymore, or I think we need to be thinking in terms of a community developing up with multiple use designations and planning from the ground up that way.
Along one of the architect decisions, and one I think that needs to be considered as for a location of effective locations, if we would ask the companies that are in the gravel business where they think the best locations for the maximum amount of gravel would be, and then work that into our planning, because I see some pits that we have approved by ordinance that have a 20 or 30 year life proposed under certain conditions, but those conditions mean that they're not the only sites that would be mined, and I think that if we have a location where they all agree that, man, there's a forever source of gravel, that this would be highlighted in our plan. So it's always going to be contentious for gravel facilities. You can get some advice as to potential consolidation of these locations. I think it's great.
Other feedback?
You've
regarding major landfills?
The only thing I got on the land sale from Ms. Moosley would be, when you're doing something like that, to involve the local community councils and which fails, which ones they recommend early on in the process, otherwise it stops that, all of a sudden you kind of pop it something. And which lakes, and I agree with that. Well, kind of, I'd like to see ag kind of redefined with 15 acre parcels to be set aside as ag. You could have bigger pieces too, but I think we need to start retooling that and incorporate ag parcels within a whole group of multi-use with other uses. The lakes, I just can't think of a lake anymore up in my country that hasn't been developed. There are lots of them around. Maybe it's a few smaller.
Other feedback?
Thank you.
Next item is Borough Space. We're real close to a bid and construction. I think probably completion is going to be 2013. Thank you very much for allowing us to do this. I'm excited about the building. I'm really excited about the meeting space that we're going to be able to have, be able to kind of stretch out and post some things. At the same time, they're preserving the historical asset that we have here. I also think this is probably our most cost-effective, i.e. cheapest, adding space project we can do. I know it doesn't do anything for our assembly people to the west, but we'll work on that on phase two on getting out there. And if it gets too hot here, I'll make put my office out in your areas.
Oh, the assembly lounge and the meeting room. We don't mind coming all the way over here to the east, if we, you know.
As soon as I feel that massage therapist, talk about that.
Mr. Collier.
So, Assemblyman from the west, and my piece wanting, and we're driving to get the headquarters moved to Wasilla or whatever, which isn't going to happen. The reality is, Senator Halter asked earlier about infrastructure and IT, and we talked about credit. So this is a item where those, as we go through the budget process, are going to be important to me, is that by taking credit cards and some infrastructure development so that it's not necessary for people to travel all the way from Dalkeetna to Palmer. It's not necessary for them to come all the way to Palmer to find out that they didn't have X piece of paper and the like, so that they can apply for a permit. There's some capital improvements we need to consider in this budget process that will alleviate some of the discussion having to do with East versus West, but for the discussion of the technology side of things you need to start investing now so that we can at least pay for the application process for permitting online. It may take us a while to get to, I guess, to the budget process. And I imagine we're looking for is a cost of investment kind of policy. I don't think it's required in departments that require some priorities, so we can just start moving in that direction. And my other ornament on the tree is the first space that we had discussed earlier about City of Wasilla has the fire maintenance facility. That facility for maintenance is owned by the City of Wasilla and leases a borough for $1 right on Main Street. It's hard to get equipment in and out of there. The city has expressed that they would love to get out of it earlier. If the borough would love to get out of it earlier, but we, of course, will cost us more than $1 to do something else. And so under the topic of real estate and budget, no matter what we're looking at, is I know that the city will not be renewing under 4 years. What are the opportunities and not being in favor of building a building? What are the interim opportunities to be out of it?
Well, when we went through the budget, I don't know if you were here, Steve, but there was millions of dollars of capital funds set aside by the Lake Fire Service. They're generating a huge cash surplus for their large project list. And they asked to meet with us in a work session before their budget, or as they're developing their budget. What's happening is they're putting their wish list together and it's going through finance and it comes out looking different than what they asked, and then they come down here and we're a bit in shell shock. We want an explanation for how come your reserve is so big. And so we need to do that work session with them. And that's something that they need to fund out of their, they have the funds. This needs to be in a priority. What we have happening is all these different services, whether it's Big Lakes or Lakes, Palmer, they all build or want their own training facilities. We have basically duplication of these mock burns all over, and Wasilla Lakes wants to do one, and it, and when Cindy was here, she didn't think it was in a good location. It's right there in that property they bought from the university, where their fire station is on Connect, I don't know, about mile 4 or 5 or something. But at any rate, they've been saving money for their training facility. But when you look at it holistically, why, and I can't understand this, why does every service area have to have their own training facility? And why does that, how does that work for the taxpayers? And so we're going to need to have that sit down before that, or have the service area board maybe come in. We can maybe hear from all of them and just allocate half hour, an hour for each one before we get into the budget, explain what they want to do. And this would be an awesome opportunity to say, hey, guys, that lease is going away. You need to start planning for that. And so we can kind of punt that to them with the directive that, you know, we need a plan. And so if it doesn't get handled, then we will have to handle it budgetarily.
One of the problems, my understanding is there's also been different discussions around about us consolidating some type of maintenance facility, school board, school district, et cetera. Fire trucks and the like are a bit of an anomaly. Plenty of pumps and different types of mechanical operations that are somewhat specialized. My understanding is that now some of our maintenance go on site and do some of the maintenance. But we're talking about very large, heavy equipment that's specialized. And right now they're pulling that on Main Street in a teeny little facility that they can back it, as long as they pick up in and out of there. It is what it is. Maintenance is fire effect versus other consolidation.
Yeah.
Well, just a comment, a lot of these items dovetail. So we've had three different topics here raised about the, you know, potential consolidation. One is communications, consolidated dispatch center. Another is an emergency vehicle maintenance building, and now training operation. And, you know, Anchorage doesn't parallel the borough in a lot of ways, but nonetheless, they have consolidated their service. They have a single dispatch center that serves the entire municipality of Anchorage. They have a single vehicle maintenance facility, and they have a single large training center. And all of those the training and the vehicle building maintenance, they service the 14 fire stations and fire stations. So it's, it is consolidated. It is well organized. It is functional. And it's a duplication. I think it's going to be a for quite a while. And without knowing all the particulars and the, you know, there's a lot of, you know, the personalities and the funding of different ambulances that fire service areas in the borough. It's kind of a patchwork, but it's time to look at consolidation, emergency services for us.
We're not familiar with this new emergency service planning.
Yeah.
We were at Borough Space.
Yes.
Sounds like emergency services, but I'm pretty sure we're at Borough Space.
Road bonds, $20 million in the governor's budget. I am assuming we're going to seek the extra $12.2 million to give us a full take. Once that's done, once we get close, I just really want to concentrate with staff to make sure we can deliver on those projects, and then work with the assembly on what's getting done when. So you can kind of be informed. I don't have anything else other to add, other than I think we got off to a very good start on that issue. And also too, to your credit, because I just kind of continued it on. I'm having Patty and Stefan here. I think with the presentations and the professional done material makes a bit of a difference. I know when we were able to do the our meeting with the governor, we had a nice visual presentation to him, and that went very well, and I think it made a big difference. So, but thank you for continuing to allow us to do it. Right now, it's a nice investment money in what we're trying to accomplish.
how are we going to account for the money, like Mr. Pover is bringing up, the watchdog? You know, watching the railroad spend the money and
mm-hmm.
I mean, how are we going to do that?
You mean on the road barns?
I meant on the railroad
contract. Railroad, I have on the railroad contract, where is the railroad contract? I'm going to come back with some type of option proposal, financial proposal on how we do that. As you make these comments, I'm kind of making other bullet points, more stuff to do. I was hoping to get less stuff to do, but I think that comes after lunch. So, it's not come before. But anyway, that's what I want to do. I'm hearing what you're saying, and so we'll give some options for your consideration on how we handle that to make sure that the money's being spent wisely. That's a new role for us, so-called. We've been, we're the money gatherers and the money grantors.
One more question on roads and projects. I was kind of a feeler. Is there anybody out there besides me that feels there's need to establish some kind of a policy for setting road bonds in the future? From my perspective, the issue of the process of the country to get to this road bond package is not a fun experience for me. The makeup of the bond changed numerous times. The mayor vetoed it. We overrode the veto. In the process of all this, the dollar went up, it went down, it went back up. Some projects all went up.
The road bond has been kind of a complicated issue over several years, not just this last year. The road bonds previously that were set, and so Palmer, Wasilla, and Houston also have their own individual road requests as well as the prior years. But to further complicate that, there was requests that was not within reason of the amount of mass. So as they kicked, that can have been kicked down the road several times, it's complicated. But the reality is, I think we finally got to some business objectives of setting some priorities, and the package is reasonable, and unfortunately it's done because we need to make the tough decisions collectively, worldwide, of what that request is going to be. And I think this year we saw the results as we defined that. It wasn't in kitchen sink and everything. We had to make the tough decisions and narrow that down. And then we collectively, with the other communities, went out to the governor, to the legislature, and I think the governor made a great first approach and is looking to the legislature to finish it. Mm-hmm. So if we continue to follow that process of working together, as well as bringing in some outside long-term transportation consulting to help work with our transportation advisory board, I think that process is in place. We just, I think we're finally getting to the point as an assembly that we make some tough decisions, set the priorities, and work together. It's going to take differences to finally work.
Well, I hope it works. It wasn't fun getting there. But I guess my idea as far as policy would go is, for instance, the issue of how much to fund. Perhaps should we have a policy that caps it at $50 million for a future or not?
Yeah.
Do we want to...
So I'm just going to respond directly. So the legislative process, every year the climate is a little different. We're looking at a situation where oil revenues, oil production is down, all sorts of arguments about margins and revenues. Every year that's a political decision that we need to take a look at as far as what possibly is available. All they can do is say no, obviously, but the reality is by also being reasonable and us being focused, we... a lot more successful. historically, if you look at the Fairbanks, for instance, you have all these bypasses and all over town. Well, Hankins was struggling to get the connected road. As a result, of, at the time, there was lots of money available in the legislature. Fairbanks had their stuff together, had a long-term vision somewhat of transportation and connectivity. While Anchorage was still fighting, but Fairbanks got the golden ring that year. Since then, there hasn't been that amount of money in the state budget. So if we keep in mind that, A, some transportation connectivity planning, and we help prioritize this, but there's no set amount every year. So the political environment, depending on oil infrastructure, cash available is going to be different every year.
Mm-hmm. The policy, you know, 50-50 is the one we ignored.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the road projects within our three bonds, the 70-30, the 100%, then now the 50-50, those are the road projects that Brad Swartz brought forward are pretty much the same, maybe a little tweak. And when the money goes up, as the, you know, the problem is we're building fast enough, but the policy of 50-50 has been established. We ignored that to our own apparel. We probably finally figured that out, I guess, and we're off to a good start now. And I don't know about setting the money. I don't know what the next bond package would look like. I wouldn't want a limited amount of money to set it now without feeling. Yeah, it's kind of too far into.
One thing we'll close with is that what's important now, between the now and the next, at the end of the session, is we hold together the body of, we have set the budget priorities. It's not the point to concede that we're going to get to. We really are looking for the additional 12.2 or whatever, and we aren't pitting your community against Noel's community, et cetera. We are looking at the goal to accomplish those goals. If at the end of 3 months we don't get there, we're a half million short or whatever, then we have that discussion amongst ourselves with the manager and make sure that we don't underfund something and make sure this doesn't fail. But right now we need to pull together as a body, have one voice, and support the manager and our lobbyists. And I think we will be successful.
Mr. Mayor, did you have a point?
I was going to do something I shouldn't do, and that's piggyback, so I'm going to pass.
Oh, good for you.
Take a break.
Oh, you don't get to take a break. We're just pushing right on through. Well, my query was, it's 11:35. We're going to break in about 25 minutes for lunch. Do you all want to do a five? They do it all.
Do we just go? Can we just go ahead and break now for lunch?
Well, is it being delivered?
Yeah,
oh, well, I didn't know it was already here.
Oh.
Well, let's do it now then.
Yeah.
That makes more sense.
Let's
make more sense. We're breaking the lunch.
You're looking at a lot of aging guys with aging prostates.
Well, that's okay. That's okay.
I don't think that's what he was considering.
All righty. Mr. Manager, you can start us back up. I believe you're moving on to tourism.
Tourism, infrastructure, and private sector jobs. Our activity has only been limited to discussion of potential new tourism office, and I know that's not what you had intended, but I'm kind of at a loss on how, as a borough, what we do to help assist and help create private sector jobs and what activities we do. Now, we do have some projects like Catch or Pass that we can work on, and we did have some opportunities in the past for development. I think one was like a J&L property that's on my list to really start gearing up and understanding that and see if there's any opportunities there. But outside of Hatcher Pass, is there any guidance that the Assembly can give me? And I'll listen while I finish the sandwich.
I'll start.
Mr. Mayor and...
Oh, okay. Well, I'll just say... There isn't a private sector tourism infrastructure, and I think the more we can defer to them, the better. I don't think it should be our... I mean, obviously, we channel a bed tax. We've supported that infrastructure that way, and I think that's been a successful model. I hate to see us start putting personnel and, into that, personally.
Mr. Manager, I know there's been plenty of discussions, and I know on our legislative priorities, the South Denali development was one of the things we suggested going forward. There's been some discussion, I know as late as the discussion on over the years of Gateway Visitor Center. But also at the same time, there's opportunity with the Department of Fish and Game talking about building a headquarters, some operation out here on that university land. And I don't know about staff, but it might be up for you to enter into that discussion with some of those other interviews that might bring a little bit more opportunity if the state Fish and Game is thinking about putting locating staff and other stuff out here that also includes a theater and other things about conservation. It would also be a possible joint activity with the tourism side where they can share some of the facilities, may open it up to different sources of revenue, and could accomplish the tourism goals at the same time, accomplish partner with the state and designate private sector. Might be some opportunity there, but before money is spent, just trying to see if there's any alignment.
Yes. Well, on tourism, you know, we need to have infrastructure to grab tourists away from Anchor Trail. I mean, basically, the only growth in the tourism industry the last year was in Independence, and it was in South Central. So we have to match up against Anchor. Like cruise ships, I think one of the companies, Norwegian, is going to bring a ship into Whittier. That's going to be a new cruise ship. But I don't think we're going to see those people because ours is going to have to come from Independence. It's going to have to fly in, and we're going to have to understand that. Like the visitor center that they're trying to propose here would be something for people to come out of Anchorage, start staying in our bed and breakfast, start staying in our motels, and start eating our food and things like that. So we have to have something to get them out here. So that Gateway Visitor Center, I think, is an important one. It would be, I think they're doing a lot of the work through grants right now to get it up. They were interested in the homes, I think the Homestake RV Park, that area. I think MEA just acquired that. MEA is interested in working with Matt through CDP to do that development, so that would be a great joint partnership. So whatever we could do from the borough to assist that, you know, I think that employees, someone that we're in the neighborhood of 36,000 jobs a year, probably about $1.6 billion in wages for tourism. So we have to be able to not take over private, and all we want to give them something to support them so we get people up here. I don't know if we have enough hotel rooms. Of course, the northern end on Talkeetna, we got adequate. I think they're going to start building themselves. But here, I don't know what we could do to get more people in Palmer and Mosilla as a hub. So as soon as you get to a hub, then they could get out for all these other little small businesses. And that's where we've always fallen apart. And Anchorage is really spends a lot of money on it. I think their bed tax is 11 cents, something like
12.
12.
Yeah,
so they, right.
I hope you mentioned MEA bought the property.
I believe this. I don't know the details of it. It would be fun if we could get, I think Ms. Quill from the Matsu CEB is going to give us a presentation, but we could certainly find out where we exactly are in that.
Please,
I could give you a...
Okay. Yeah, well, that's
since we bought that, with a specific objective in mind of working with the MSCVB.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it is an ongoing process.
And the awkward thing is there is up the hill, versus scaling out of
because that gets the trails that for most of the lake systems up there. You can get a better view of the system.
Yeah.
It's no, it's basically hand on the land.
Other thoughts about tourism infrastructure to give manager a little bit more guidance?
The only thing I have to add, and I've made a decision because I did not see the funding there, but for South Denali to get electricity up, they're collecting money for a $7 million electric extension project, and they have asked me for $1 million to contribute for that from borough funds, and I've sat on that. Should that be something that I should use my judgment and look at the budget, or do you want me to bring those things to the assembly?
We need to say no. We can't support $1 million for that. Support it on the food.
My opinion on this tourism thing, it's like anybody going into business for themselves, why they have to present a financial statement argument to the bank, which in this case is us, and tell us that this is the opportunity we see, the potential benefit, the return of this money to the borough, and how many weeks, years, months, etc. And that's the part that's been lacking. They come to us. And they want this, they want to do that. They can see high in the sky, but there's no... They're very careful not to show any financial return. That's okay. Any positive. And that really worries me, that whole decision.
Okay. So far, good call sitting on. Okay.
Can I comment on that just for any Jackson?
Well, this is one of them speaking with a forked tongue thing. I'm reminded of Hatcher Pass and J&L Properties and their preparation to do a world-class ski facility up there, which would attract massive tourism. And a previous group of individuals at this horseshoe did everything they could to run them off to the degree where they claim, sure, they will never do business with the borough again. Now, money dictates whether they will or not, but they're incited riot in their minds as a result of how they were treated as a result of the Hatcher Pass situation after expending lots of money, lots of time, lots of energy, and then being turned away and rebuffed. And the rules were changed over and over and over for J&L Properties. Well, that's one. They just happen to be the largest private sector developer in the entire state right now. They built a $30 million building in Anchorage out of pocket with no funding. So they definitely could have and would have and were prepared to do a Hatcher Pass. But when we moved them to 1,200 foot from the Little Susitna River, or attempted to, they threw up their hands in disgust because they'd been moved from 200 to 600, excuse me, to 1,200. And so to 600, they could have done it. At 1,200, it became unfeasible for them, and they walked away from that project. Another project that's been on the table for ever since I've been in the valley, and I think that it's fallen into disarray, and people have forgotten about the Kinnick Glacier. Kinnick Glacier is the most available and preeminent glacier available. That Lake George up there was talks of paving the road out there to it, bringing the tourists there. It's more accessible than Portage Glacier now, more beautiful than Portage Glacier now. And you remember Wayne Burkhart? I know some of you do. Wayne had that thing all laid out before the first recession fell in, and then when manager Scott was here, we brought it back to the table to build a tramway up to Lake George and get that thing paved out there and bring the tourism. So there are opportunities in there and projects that are available. But we need to stop bringing in the people that are excited about them and then turn them and rebuff them an hour after they spent time, energy, and money. So those two, Hatcher Pass and the Kinnick Glacier, you want tourism in the valley? There's two world-class state of affairs that we could endeavor to bring people in. But you got to let them in. You can't just say you want them in.
Mr. Holper?
Well,
Knik Glacier already has a lodge out there, I think 12 to 14 cabins plus a home lodge. They're doing tours up on the glacier now, so it's that's strictly private enterprise, and they are successful coming out of Anchorage with them. So that's, you know, kind of private. On Noel's comments, the tourism industry is really the only industry that taxes with the bed tax, you know, too. And so that money is to go back. I guess they're telling me now, Mr. Stropolis, that we could not use that bed tax to support the Talkeetna's sewer and water, which I wanted to do and brought it out because even though it's a little bit of a more of an indirect thing, it would help the village up there. I've always thought, and this is personal, I know how taxes are, the seasonal sales tax would be something that might quite possibly work because you would have a certain number of people coming through that pay seasonal sales tax. I don't know how volatile that is. I don't know how it impacts.
Have we finished with tourism? Do we have more? Moving on.
Okay, implement economic development plan. In the process of hiring economic development director, I have been engaged with MSRDC to complete our R&E visits and assistance, and then we have working on our other legislative priorities. Do a couple of small contracts with them. I really want to tie community development with the land sale and timber sales to economic development as opposed to parks and recreation. And then just to let you know, we have been providing full staff attention to the port business opportunities, and the port director has been assigned to kind of lead that team. We've been putting quite a bit of effort, and I think we're starting to work quite well together on those with the port. But the big thing we're missing right now, and I'm hoping MSRDC can help us with, is existing businesses not related to the port. All the other businesses within the borough that not port related. We put an awful lot of attention to our port and port development, which is important. But I certainly don't want our other opportunities to be ignored. And that's been a challenge. And hopefully the economic development director, when we get that person in, will be able to make some headway in that area as well.
Any questions? And again, questions that we're fielding for each project. This would be questions that assembly members have about the current status, not necessarily additional things you want to add to it. Agricultural development?
All right, it's a good start. Okay. Agriculture development, we are seeking opportunities for the ag processing facility. It seems to be quite down on the list. What we need to do, and we have a gentleman in town, John Collins, who is hired, I've met with, is to really see if we have an opportunity. Also, too, we have Marion Romano, who really was the impetus besides this egg processing center. I'm back as our interim community development person. Our next step, we need to get out to people who are farmers and make sure, is this a service so used? How is the service going to be effective? Does it make economic sense? And get them behind a project, and I think we'll have an easier time for funding. But that's the only spot that we've been able to go. We try to examine the leases or lease expired on the egg parcels. We only had a couple. That did not seem to be a burning issue at the time I got that information. But other than really that, the egg processing center, we haven't done a whole lot in that area.
This is one I would not have heartburn over throwing away. I've had reservations about the model of being a co-in, and I get this feedback from the farm community too. You know, how is public and private sector going to work together on that? And I've fully come to the position that until the private sector has got enough incentive to step forward and really push for this, we're pushing something that's going to be like a ferry when we get it out there. And, you know, I'm going to take some heat probably, but until there's a private sector co-op formed that really wants to do something with this, I do not see that being an economic driver in the farm community. We had one over here that grows peas and processed stuff, but it eventually became a private business of its own. And if a co-op or even a private person wanted to come forward, I'm all for helping locate it so it can plug into the nutritional facility, stuff like that. But if our consultant could come up with a way to just keep this from being a government farm project, I might be a little more upbeat about it.
I have to agree, having worked on the potato growers cooperative and stuff. When you're dealing with a farm community, as many people involved, you have that many totally different ideas of how they should be treated, not what's going on. They all agree with what's going on, but the individual differences invariably cause a collapse. At Mr. Valley Co-op, the Palmer Potato Growers Association, I can name several of them, but it's not the government doing something does not mean that it's going to work. I agree with you. Past experience shows that government doing something will not work.
And we don't have a farm community that has got the cultural cohesion to even work together in a co-op environment. I have not been able to visualize how this could work.
Mr. Halton.
Oh, well, I was going to say in agriculture policy, I maintain the best policy we have is redefining the size of ag parcels and get more, if we're going to have land sales for a land sale, making sure there's ag parcels in every one of those land sales, 15 acres. And I don't know if that brushes up against state law. I thought state law had to have 40 acre parcels.
Okay. Our land, what you're talking about doing is selling our land with a restrictive covenant on it. We're like any other landowner. We can specify whatever we'd like as long as it's not illegal, like you could say, you know. No minorities or something blatantly illegal like that.
The best thing we can do is make sure there's more parcels going out of future land sales, specifically ag, and they don't have to always be big. I don't know if Americans have it.
Another minor thing that we could do that I think would open the door, we have defined forces out of agriculture, and I think we need to go through our policies and rethink that, because frankly, if it wasn't for forces in this state right now, there wouldn't be any agriculture. You wouldn't be growing hay to feed cows because there's less than 1,000 cows in the balance. But by policy, we have eliminated, if somebody wants a tax break for fencing horses on their property, I believe they don't qualify. But if you, I don't know, there's several points where we define horses out of agriculture, and I think we need to rethink that completely. We could quite easily become the Kentucky Derby of Alaska. We've rethought that.
Thank you.
parts of it. I actually think that I'm very good at small amounts of microphones. Regarding the egg processing,
Mr. Manager, did you get what you needed, or more than you needed, or?
Yeah, more than I needed. Next, review boards and commission status, and that I've taken a hands-off approach on that. Mr. Mayor, is that wise?
Yeah, probably. That is a work in progress, and we do have a pretty comprehensive analysis that the clerk's office did on each of our boards and commissions. And attendance, I think if these boards and commissions are supposed to be involving and interfacing and directly involved with the public, for the most part, that's not what's happened. Most of them are just two or three people that get together and in some cases are pretty much setting our mill rates on certain services. So it is something that I intend to bring forward, and that I honestly can't say. I think there's consolidation that needs to take place. It's taking place in the fire service areas now. I think that's healthy. I'm concerned about defensiveness on the, and it's partly my fault, I guess. I brought forward a couple of issues that put the road service areas in defense, and I want to start meeting with them to see how, because when we've got probably a majority of those road service areas don't even have complete boards. A couple of them are totally vacant. I think we need to start combining those things till we've at least got an interested body of people. That's where we are.
Quick administrative note, about 12:15, and if you want to adhere to your 2 o'clock time frame since you're halfway through an 8-page report, you probably should adhere more to, if you have questions specifically about an update, great. If you have things that are more additional in nature, you might want to look at tabling that for an actual planning session. Probably the most advantageous way you can use this is if the manager has real questions about how to proceed, or if you as an assembly member are looking at, wow, we need to cut, we need to more streamline this, then that's very advantageous as opposed to adding at this point. Mr. Manager.
Okay. Just a note, you've approved 2 resolutions regarding coal issues. We don't have anything on the table for anything additional at this point in time, staff-wise. Board authority, we have met with the Port Commission. There wasn't a whole lot of traction at that point in time, but with Mr. Salmon letting us know about the grand retirement down south of us, I think maybe we watched that, and we reintroduced that maybe in 6 months to the Port Commission, see if they have maybe a little bit different perspective on what's going on.
Mr. Culper?
Yeah. I think for our port to just do a port authority right now in its infancy would be a mistake. We've got a lot more investment to make there and get it up and running. But as far as a to me, it only makes sense if we do a regional port authority with Anchorage, so it's all managed for efficient flow of goods and services. And to just go it alone would be, we would create this entity that would then, you know, have an uncertain future. But there is real possibility if we can look at it regionally, and then we can quit these turf wars, and we can have management of the bulk commodities, and then we're starting to really become in our marketing efforts, everything works in concert at that point. And how do we get there? It's probably a more difficult road to hoe, but for this kind of an entity to be successful, I think that's what we look at, how successful port authorities are working around our country and the world. I think that would be the model. It's very broad in scope.
Well, I was going to bring up the unified regional port authority concept, but keep that in the picture.
I think it's a long way off. We've got many years of development here. We seem to be doing by far the best project development in this area of the state so far. Really happy to keep on the way we're doing it for the foreseeable future. So I think it can be a nice discussion.
Perry, we applied for a recent Tiger grant. Only $1 million got awarded in the state of Alaska, and it was not us. We'll continue pushing forward on that. There's additional analysis in process that's going to be coming to you on January 17th as far as direction for that process. You wanted more information as far as the use, realistic use, and cost and revenue of that. The mayor has a letter encouraging the mayor of Anchorage to sign it to allow us to apply for permit at Ship Creek. We're still seeking a short-term boat use. I've engaged our borough attorney to really do an analysis on all our agreements and documents through a third party on exactly what we're responsible for, what our costs involved are, what our opportunities and so that we're hoping to put that together shortly. It looks like it's going to be February when we're going to actually be receiving the boat. And that's what I have on a short-term basis on the ferry.
I had a question earlier regarding the fact that the Eagle stuff. It seems to me that the boat is pending and the borough signed off. It's not supposed to be capacity and considering all that in mind, potential political things to relieve ourselves from federal preference and restrictions that are keeping us from tweaking the boat, using it for other things.
I don't know the answer to that question. The original agreements for the boat were signed, I think, either in 03 or 04, and there were like 24 amendments afterwards. There's also Lockheed Martin had some data involved. The shipyard had some data involved. The design builder had some data involved. We had some data involved. Who owns what? I don't know that there's anybody that can tell you that. What I can tell you is that, to date, my office has not been involved in any of those agreements. So that's what the manager was talking about, is we're going to try to gather everything and then have a comprehensive analysis performed to figure out what our options are. Because for years we've heard, well, why don't we give the Navy the data? Well, we own part of it. Well, we own all of it. Well, we own some of it. They can't build it without our permission. All those different things. But anytime I've asked, the people who are telling us these things where in the documents. It says that nobody can point me to the actual thing. So I went through all the manager's files on this subject the other day and flagged them for copying. Tomorrow I'm going to go down to finance. They pulled all the grant funding for anything related to the ferry and or the terminals and or any FTA monies or anything like that. I'm going to go through all that either tomorrow or next week, early next week, and flag all of it for copying, get copies of all of it, and then begin the process of gathering all of the agreements that we entered into. I'm going to have to locate copies of all this stuff, and then I'll probably go hire a maritime firm to go through it all. So that's the plan of attack.
Yeah, sure, nice thought. It's very complicated. Legal, political side, what we have a concept of economics, there's something else to talk about, the social issues, and that side
of it. Sure.
And we have to help.